options, and so we flip-flop or switch things up. So I'm taking the lesson tonight, and this evening we want to study about preparing our hearts to serve God. And this is something that we have seen as a theme, really, in several of the kings that we have studied about in our Sunday morning study from the kings in our recent weeks. And we have an opportunity to look at this subject tonight, and we're looking forward to delving into that to learn more about what that means to prepare our hearts to seek and serve the Lord. That word prepare in the Old Testament, it's the Hebrew word kum, which means to be erect or to set up. It's most often translated established, but we can see in context, it is a word that really does mean to prepare, which is what it's translated as many, many other times in the Old Testament. So we see establish or prepare is the most common translations of this word into English. But we can see in context from a number of examples how this word prepare is something that is done in advance. Just to look at a quick survey of some examples of its use in the Old Testament in this regard. Exodus chapter 16 and verse 5, the Israelites were told on the sixth day on Friday to prepare the manna that would fall on that day for the next day on the Sabbath. The manna would not come, so they would have to prepare 2 days' worth on the sixth day. So that would require preparation. That would require in advance for them to get ready every week for that particular circumstance that would recur. We also see that word used a number of times in regard to the preparations for the building of the temple. When King David was preparing the materials for the construction of the temple, he was not allowed by God to be the one to build it. It would be built by his son. So David prepared those materials during his reign. 1 Kings 5 and verse 18 mentions the timber and the stones that were prepared for the temple. 1 Chronicles 9 verse 32. First Chronicles 15 verses 1, 3, and 12. David had prepared a place for the ark, which was going to be in advance of the temple being built. The showbread was prepared every Sabbath by the priest. 1 Chronicles 9, 32. And we could look at a number of other examples of this, but this is a word that is frequently used for preparation of things. That's planning and doing something in advance as the Lord would direct us to do. Now, the spiritual application that we see in Scripture for the inner man, we can see in Rehoboam, who was the son of Solomon and the first king of Judah after the kingdom of Israel was divided into two parts. 10 tribes were given to Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who ruled over those tribes, 10 of them, and they were to the north of Judah. And that northern kingdom, because of it having 10 of the 12 tribes, was described most often by the name Israel, so the kingdom of Israel. Well, the southern kingdom was frequently referred to as the kingdom of Judah. Benjamin, the tribe of Benjamin, that smallest of tribes, was also included with Judah under the reign of David's descendants, Solomon's son, Rehoboam being the first one. But Rehoboam, in 2 Chronicles chapter 11, began to reign, and we read in verses 13 through 17 about the beginning of his reign as king over Judah. It says, and the priests and the Levites that were in all Israel resorted to him, to Rehoboam, out of all their coasts, for the Levites left their suburbs and their possessions and came to Judah and Jerusalem. For Jeroboam and his sons and cast them off from executing the priest office under the Lord. And he ordained him priest for the high places and for the devils and for the calves which he had made. And after them, out of all the tribes of Israel, such as set their hearts to seek God, the Lord God of Israel, came to Jerusalem to sacrifice unto the Lord God of their fathers. So they strengthened the kingdom of Judah and made Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, strong 3 years. For 3 years they walked in the way of David and Solomon. So the beginning of Rehoboam's reign was a very good one. And it lasted for 3 years. And it was a good 3 years, but the sad part was that it did not last beyond that. But in those first 3 years, after Jeroboam, the king in the north, had made up his own religion to prevent the people of Israel from going to Jerusalem, like the Lord commanded them to do for the three feast days every year, and for the observance of the statutes that he's given them for those occasions. Jeroboam set up, made his own feasts and made up his own gods for the people, those golden calves that he put in Dan and Bethel, and made his own priests and everything. So the ones who wanted to follow God had to leave. And so they did, and came and strengthened Rehoboam and his kingdom. But it says that for 3 years they walked in the way of David and Solomon. Well, what happened after that 3 years? Well, after that 3 years, Rehoboam departed from the Lord. And Second Chronicles chapter 12 and verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass when Rehoboam had established the kingdom and had strengthened himself, he forsook the law of the Lord and all Israel with him." So this was something that was a problem, not just for Rehoboam, as we read there, but for all the people in his kingdom. Now, we could ask the question, or should ask the question, I mean, how could all of the kingdom, after 3 years, suddenly with virtually as one, turn away from God along with their king? And the roots of that, as we seek the answer, the roots of that go back to Rehoboam's son Solomon, when he had married all of those wives that he did that were princesses, and they worshiped idols, and so they turned Solomon's heart away from following God, and he forsook the Lord for a time and worshiped idols, and the nation of Israel, his people, followed him in that, and that went on for some time. And eventually, Solomon repented of it. And no doubt, being the father of Rehoboam, he would have instructed Rehoboam, as he did the rest of his people, to turn back to God and away from those idols. And Solomon did repent of that. But did that mean all of the people themselves sincerely repented? Well, we can see the result here. After Solomon died, the new king caused them to follow the Lord like Solomon had. But as soon as he departed from the Lord and went back to idols, they did too. So this was something that they had been involved with for some time. And this return to God at the end of Solomon's reign and the beginning of Rehoboam was something that was relatively brief. And, so it's sad to read that, but 2 Chronicles chapter 12 answers the question as to why Rehoboam did this. Why did he not persist? I mean, it's obvious that his father Solomon, as David had instructed Solomon to follow the Lord, Solomon had with Rehoboam, and Rehoboam did have those years of his father's influence of idolatry, but Solomon repented of that and would have instructed his son to follow the Lord too. And but why didn't he continue in that? Why did Solomon's influence only last for 3 years after his death, and then Rehoboam, being on his own, would not persist in following God? Well, that's a question that should concern any of us who are parents or grandparents, seeing our children coming up. We don't want to see them only serving God when we are making them do it, or because we are requiring them to do that. We don't want that to be something that they only do during our lifetime. We want them to do that for the sake of their own souls, that when we're gone, that they're going to serve God with all of their heart, soul, mind, and strength, and never ever depart from it? And so this is an important question to answer. Well, what happened with Rehoboam, and why did he turn away from God? Well, he gives that answer in 2 Chronicles chapter 12 and verse 14. Of Rehoboam, it says, "And he, Rehoboam, did evil because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord." He did not prepare his heart to seek the Lord. And there's that word again. So he had not set up, he had not built up his heart to seek the Lord. So there's preparation that has to be made for our seeking God that will enable us to endure and to persist and to be faithful all of our days and not to turn away from him. But Rehoboam failed to do that. Now we read, of course, the failure of the nation of Israel in his time also, which was not the first time for that to happen for the nation of Israel. Let's turn now to Psalm 78, which is where he is giving teaching to parents to instruct their children and so that they would know the Lord and remember him and his works, and so that they would not depart from him like so many in Israel had done before. But in Psalm 78, we want to read verses 1 through 8 here. It says, "Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us." Well, this is something that was true for Solomon. His father had told him, and Rehoboam also, this was true, that his father had told him. But this is a job that parents have, for fathers to teach their children God and his ways. He says in verse 4, "We will not hide them from their children, showing in a generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he has done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children." So we want to see this to be a legacy that will last for generations to come, that our children and their children and so on would serve God, seek and serve him with all their heart. And verse 7 says that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, to keep his commandments, and might not be, as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. Now, it's interesting, that phrase we read there in English, set not their heart aright. That's that same word that it spoke about Rehoboam, that he did not prepare his heart to seek the Lord. Well, this generation of or these generations of Israel that he's speaking about here, these ones had not set their heart aright. They had not prepared their heart. So it was the same problem. So we can see it afflicted Rehoboam, an individual, but also we saw that with the people of Israel that were under him, as they also forsook God and followed him. But this is the problem that he mentions here in Psalm 78. This was the key problem that the nation of Israel had in so many of their generations. They didn't set their heart aright. They didn't prepare their heart to seek and to serve God. Well, part of that preparation we're reading about here in Psalm 78 is that teaching and that grounding of the children from the time that they're born, that they would know God, that they would know his work, that they would know his ways, his commandments, so that they could follow him. So really, in that regard, the preparation for the hearts of those who are to serve God really should begin in their youth, from their childhood, with what their parents teach them. Of course, we're all responsible before God to seek and to serve the Lord. And so even if that upbringing is not there, being brought up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, we all know that we have a creator. We have the evidence of the creation of the Creator from the creation. So we all have that responsibility to seek God, and none of us have an excuse. We remember Romans 1:18 through 21 about that. But as we have that responsibility to seek God, no matter what we were taught as children, it is certainly God's will and a great blessing and advantage in the preparation of our hearts to have the parents to be teaching and grounding us in these things, to know the Holy Scriptures. If we had more time, we could go to the book of 2 Timothy and read in that book from chapter 1 and on into chapter 3 about Timothy and his mother and grandmother and how they had taught him the Holy Scriptures, so that the unfeigned faith that was in them was also instilled in Timothy. And so they helped to prepare Timothy's heart to serve God, and God used that preparation as Timothy continued on with that. But that also does remind us, though, that no matter our upbringing, even if our parents, our grandparents have helped to prepare our hearts to seek and to serve God, we still have to continue that. That has to be our own desire, our own will, and then has to become our own work to prepare our own hearts to continue to seek God so that we don't depart from Him. And you see, Rehoboam failed in that. We also have some examples of success in God's Word to learn from, and these are very encouraging and helpful to us, much like we've been studying and recently Wednesday night in our study of the book of Hebrews, and we have a whole chapter, Hebrews 11, of what he calls that great cloud of witnesses. Well, that great cloud of witnesses in Hebrews 11, those examples of obedient faith in God, are all ones who prepare their hearts to seek God. Well, one of those examples, we find Jehoshaphat in the Old Testament, and so we can go back to the book of 2 Chronicles, now to chapter 17, and this Jehoshaphat was the great-grandson of Rehoboam, the one we were just reading about, who did not prepare his heart to seek God. Well, Jehoshaphat, his great-grandson, Rehoboam's grandson Asa, Jehoshaphat's father, was one who served God and obviously helped to prepare his son Jehoshaphat's heart to seek the Lord. Asa was a righteous king and servant of God. 2 Chronicles 17, though, tells us about Jehoshaphat in verses 3 through 6. It says, "And the Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the first ways of his father David, and sought not after Balaam, but sought for the Lord God of his father, and walked in his commandments, and not after the doings of Israel. Therefore the Lord established the kingdom in his hand, and all Judah brought to Jehoshaphat presents, and he had riches and honor and abundance, and his heart was lifted up in the ways of the Lord. Moreover, he took away the high places and groves out of Judah." But this is what it says about about Jehoshaphat here, that he walked in God's commandments, but and God was with him for it, but he walked in the first ways of his father David. That's highlighted as part of that preparation in Jehoshaphat's heart to serve the Lord. I've been mixing up Jehoshaphat and Rehoboam's names here, but pardon me if I do that again, but Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles 19 and verse 3, that phrase that was used about Rehoboam, where Rehoboam failed because he did not prepare his heart to seek the Lord. 2 Chronicles 19 and verse 3 says, "Nevertheless, there are good things found in thee." This is what God's prophet said to Jehoshaphat, "in that thou, Jehoshaphat, hast taken away the groves out of the land and hast prepared thine heart to seek God." So this was God's own testimony through his prophet, that Jehoshaphat had prepared his heart to seek God, while his great-grandfather Rehoboam had not. But Jehoshaphat had done so. Well, part of that preparation he mentioned back in chapter 17 was that he walked in the first ways of David. That's highlighted there for a reason. Well, what was David's heart like? Was David's heart prepared to seek God? Well, David had prepared his heart. We all remember 1 Samuel 13, verse 14, where it refers to David as a man after God's own heart. He's not called by name there. That was before he became king, when God has rejected Saul, another one who would not prepare his heart to see God. But the Lord has said through the prophet Samuel that God was going to give Saul's kingdom to a man who was after God's own heart. Of course, that was David. Then we have Acts 13, and verse 22, where he's speaking about David and his reign, and quotes that scripture in 1 Samuel 13, and verse 14, about David, and says again that David was a man after God's own heart and fulfilled all of God's will. Well, having a heart like God, that took a lot of preparation, and David did that. We read in the Psalms, Psalm 57, verse 7, when David says, "My heart is fixed." He also says that in Psalm 108, verse 1, "My heart is fixed." That word fixed there is that word for prepared. David was speaking about his own heart, or God was, through David, about his own heart. His heart was prepared. His heart was prepared to seek God, so it was fixed, established in doing that. And that's why he was a man after God's own heart. That's why he fulfilled all of God's will. It's interesting, that word, that Greek word kun, the word for prepare, is used about David more than any other individual in the Old Testament. And that's not by accident, as we see the result of that. And how did that translate into David's life as far as how he lived his life, with him preparing his heart to see God as he had? 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 5 says, "Because David did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, and turned not aside from anything that he commanded him all the days of his life, save only the matter of Uriah the Hittite." And David did stumble in that matter, and he committed a number of sins in that particular matter, but in all the other matters of his life, God testifies that David did not turn aside from anything that he commanded him all of his days. Well, that was the result of a heart that was well prepared and fixed to serve God. And so those were the ways of David. Those are those first ways of David, having his heart prepared to seek and serve him. And Jehoshaphat walked in those first ways of David. And that's why God said he prepared his heart to seek God. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, some more about Jehoshaphat there, in verses 31 through 33, summarizing his life and reign. It said, "And Jehoshaphat reigned over Judah. He was 35 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 25 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Zelem, and his mother's name was Azubah, the daughter of Shilhai, and he walked in the way of Asa his father, and departed not from it, doing that which was right in the sight of the Lord, albeit the high places were not taken away, for as yet the people had not prepared their hearts unto the God of their fathers." So that persisted as a problem. Now, Jehoshaphat did a lot to encourage them in that, and we can see the results and how he encouraged them to seek God, and so they grew in that, but that was a problem that Jehoshaphat was having to deal with, the lack of the preparation of the hearts of the people of Israel. So this was something that Jehoshaphat had to do himself, but also all the people of Israel. In Ezra chapter 7 and verse 10, we read about another man who prepared his heart to seek God, and we can learn more about how we can do that. We certainly saw the element a while ago of having the parents and grandparents to be involved in that teaching and grounding of the generations to come, so that they would know God and his ways, his word, his commandments. But this has to be done. This has to be practiced, that preparation ourselves, in order for us to continue on with what that grounding was, if we were blessed to have parents that would do that. But in Ezra chapter 7 and verse 10, it says, "For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgment." Well, he was a priest of the Lord, and God had chosen him for that great job of teaching the people of Israel that had returned from captivity in Babylon, to teach them the commandments of the Lord. But Ezra was not going to go around and be Israel's greatest hypocrite. Ezra was going to go and teach the people the word that he himself knew and followed. So he first prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and then to do it, to keep those commandments. So if we're going to prepare our hearts to seek God, that's going to require diligent study of God's word to know all of his commandments and then to apply our hearts to do those things. For young people, remember Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 1, where God says to remember thy creator in the days of thy youth. Well, when should we start to study the word of God to learn his commandments? Well, we've already seen that the parents start that job by teaching the children those things. But at what time is a person old enough to start reading those things for themselves? Well, when they can read those things for themselves. And our children should be reading their Bibles and not just reading the Word, but they should be digging into it and studying it to learn. And this is something that we all need to be doing on a daily basis, seeking that, preparing our hearts to seek that law of God so we can then do His commandments. And then we can teach others those things. Those were the steps that Ezra followed that we ourselves also need to follow today in preparing our hearts to seek and to serve God. Another good example of this we see is in 1 Samuel chapter 7, when Samuel was a prophet in Israel and also a judge of Israel. He was the last judge that Israel had before they had their king, starting with Saul, which was their demand. It was not what God had designed for them. He designed these judges, like ones like Samuel. And those judges prepared their hearts to seek the Lord. And we can see Samuel's work with the people of Israel to do this. For many years, they had been serving idols, and they had departed from God. Samuel was calling them back, calling them to repentance. In 1 Samuel chapter 7, verses 3 and 4, says, and Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, if you do return unto the Lord with all your heart, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. Then the children of Israel did put away Balaam and Ashtaroth, and served the Lord only. So now we're looking more at how we prepare our hearts. It's one thing to read that phrase that we need to do it, but how do we do it? Well, we've already seen, just to review again, some of those elements, the parents, the grandparents, teaching the children the word of God so that they know God and his ways, his commandments. And then for the children to take over from that prepare their hearts to seek God too by seeking his law, to know his commandments, to do them, which we all have to continue to do. So that is all part of that. And in this case here, though, if we go to God's word and we go there with the mind that we're going to learn commandments of God and we're going to follow God's commandments, but we're also going to live for ourselves too and enjoy this world along with it. Is that something God's going to be able to work with? Is that a heart that's prepared to seek and serve God? Well, no, it's not. So when we read here about preparing our hearts, it's very key that we note what he's bringing out here in verses 3 and 4, 1 Samuel 7. What caused this generation of Israel to have gone wrong and when they had departed from the Lord? Well, they weren't serving. They didn't have a mind to serve God only, and this is what was going to have to be there. It would have to include their repentance, their preparation of their hearts, to repent from where they had not been serving God and serving him only before, but then to have a mind, which is what repentance is, to have a new mind. The new mind for them here was that they were going to seek and serve God and live for him only, not for anybody or anything else. And so that's what Samuel told them that they were going to have to do, and it says then they did that. So we turn over now to Proverbs chapter 4, as we're directed to, well, to direct our own steps to do the same thing. This is exactly what we're reading about now in Proverbs chapter 4, 23 through 27. Proverbs 4, 23 through 27. For they are life, let's see here, I'm sorry, verse 23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, or that word keep, guard our heart, with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So this text pertains to the inner man and what we're to do with our hearts. But we need to guard them with all diligence, because all the issues of life proceed from our heart. That's very similar, identical to what Jesus taught in the New Testament. Matthew 15, Mark 7, is the heart is the source of our thoughts and words and deeds. But in verse 24 here in Proverbs 4, he says, put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips, put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. That word established, there's that word, Hebrew word tune again, that word that we've been reading about to prepare our hearts. Well, here it's to our ways. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. They are to be prepared and built up. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy feet from evil. So we have to have that mind that we're going to serve the Lord, and we're going to serve the Lord only, which means we're not going to turn aside from that either way, any direction, that we're only going to follow his path and none other, and that we're going to be pondering, giving consideration to the path that we're walking in, that we're going to prepare our ways on his path, that we're going to be digging into his words to know where our feet need to be going, and then we're going to be thinking about each step that we take to make sure that each step is on his road, on that straight and narrow road that leads to eternal life. Luke chapter 14 here in the New Testament, this is the foundation of being the Lord's disciple. We cannot be his disciple without doing this. That's the very language that Christ uses here. In this teaching in Luke chapter 14, we're going to start in verse 26, Luke chapter 14, verse 26, and we're going to read down through verse 33. I know we've heard these verses before, but that's a good thing, and we want to hear them again. It says, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost? Does that sound like preparation? Sitting down first and counting the cost. He says, whether he have sufficient to finish it, lest haply after he had laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king going to make war against another king sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth him an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. So in the same way, in those examples that he gives there, in which preparation needs to be made for building the tower or going to a battle. And likewise, we have to make that preparation in our hearts to be Christ's disciples, which means to prepare our hearts to seek him like they were told to do in 1 Samuel chapter 7, to serve the Lord only. Well, he's to be our only master. That's what that means. When he says to hate father, mother, sister, brother, and our own wife also. That's the very phrase that he uses in Luke chapter 16 and verse 13 when he says that we cannot serve two masters, for either we will love the one and hate the other, hold the one and despise the other, that we cannot serve God and mammon. It's an either or. We can't do both. So we have to choose Christ as our master and forsake all others. No other person, including ourselves, and things. That's what mammon is, material things. We can't have any body or anything to be our master, only Christ. That is the preparation of our heart to be his disciple. In Hebrews chapter 6, this is that foundation, the first principles of the doctrine of Christ that he's reminding us of here. And we have to know that, and then once that foundation is laid, we have to leave that and then go on to perfection. He says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and a faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permits. That repentance from dead works, he brings up in Hebrews chapter 9, in verses 13 and 14. He says, for if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Well, there's that preparation process again, that we purge our conscience from dead works to serve the living God, from any and all work that aren't serving him. So we prepare ourselves to be Christ's disciple, to turn away from all things, reject any master, forsake everything, so that we will only serve the living God. And if we do that, then we have prepared our hearts to seek and to serve God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. This is the subject also of this passage, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. This is our duty and what we're constrained to do, as he teaches it here. For the love of Christ constraineth us. Well, that love that he had for us, that he died for us, gives us a duty and obligation. We're constrained by it to do something. What? It's because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. Well, Christ did die for us all because we were all dead in our sins and trespasses, separated from God. Verse 15 says, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. So what did Christ do for us? He gave up his life. He died for us. What are we constrained to do in return? Give up our life for him. That we're not going to live unto ourselves, that we are going to only live for him, the one who died for us and rose again. There's what we have to prepare our hearts to do, to seek and to serve Christ, to follow him as his disciple. We cannot be his disciple if we do not do that. So that is that. Those are the basic conditions that we have to meet and to follow in order to be his disciples. We'll try to continue this, Lord willing, next Lord's Day, as we need to go into some more detail on distinguishing or discerning our part in this and our preparation, but also God's part in working with us to do this. So we want to look some more at that our next time, Lord willing. But we will go ahead and close for our time of study tonight, and we'll now turn it over to our song leader to Brother Samuel.